defendant appealed from two aspects of his judgment of sentence, arguing that the district court erred in calculating the number of victims who suffered a substantial financial hardship, and also imposing a five-year custodial sentence. And I'm just realizing that I'm out of time. So this is the end of the show. We'll be back with the sports guys right after the news. Please stay tuned.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
It's dysfunctional now. It's totally dysfunctional. And at some point, the Senate is going to be forced to make a deal.
President Trump talking about the failure of Obamacare and the need of the GOP and the Senate to get something done. But once again, Arizona Senator John McCain is rushing in to save Obamacare in the Senate. The Arizona Republican released a statement today saying he could not in good conscience vote for the Graham-Cassidy proposal. It was McCain's vote that killed the last Senate Republican health care bill in July, leaving Obamacare intact. McCain has not explained why he keeps protecting Obamacare in the Senate. The Guadalataca Dam in Puerto Rico has failed following damage and flooding from Hurricane Maria, sending mass flash flooding into neighboring towns downstream. The National Weather Service San Juan is reporting buses are being rushed into the region. They're trying to evacuate as many people as possible. USA Radio News.
Getting your flu shot at Walgreens is easier than ever. Just walk right in, and there's no cost to you with a $0 copay with most insurance. Plus, when you get a flu shot, you help provide a life-saving vaccine to a child in need through the UN Foundation. Swing by your local Walgreens anytime to get a flu shot and help make a difference. Get a shot, give a shot. It's that easy. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Through August 31st, 2018, for every immunization given, Walgreens will donate 22 cents up to $2 million. Vaccine restrictions apply. Talk to your pharmacist to learn more.
How can Chris be so relaxed when his big interview is today? Because he searched jobs on Glassdoor.com. Out of millions of listings, he filtered by distance and salary to find the job that was right for him. He researched the company on Glassdoor, too. He read employee reviews. He knows they have great medical, even free Donut Fridays. So he has nothing to worry about and everything to look forward to. Glassdoor. Find the job that fits your life. Go to Glassdoor.com or download the app today.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Well, good afternoon. I have a guest for the program today, but let's get to the weather first. And both Bill and John are not going to be here. I'm Pat Smits, one of your sports guys, and my guest today I'll announce as soon as I tell you about this beautiful weather. Actually, today, as beautiful as it has been, is not even going to be the warmest of the 3 days. Saturday, tomorrow, it's going to be sunny, high of about 85 degrees. I guess that was about the temperature today. Tonight will be partly cloudy, low of only about 58 degrees. And then, as I said, tomorrow sunny, high of about 85 degrees. Mostly clear tomorrow night, 60-degree low is expected. But then on Sunday, there is going to be really summer weather, 90 degrees, sunny. And then into Monday, again, if you can take off from work or don't have to work on Monday, again, another 90-degree sunny day. So I'm sure people will be heading down to the shore. And as I usually warn people, be very careful, though, of the riptides, because there are no lifeguards on duty. And if you have children with you, really be very, very careful, because it's a real concern. And if you don't know how to what to do in case somebody gets in a riptide, you have to swim parallel to the shore, but go on the internet and really print out the information and go over it with your kids before you let them go in the water. So we'll be right back after a quick mention from one of our sponsors, our own chamber.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, good afternoon. This is the sports, and I'm one of the sports guys, and I hope, I know that Bill is celebrating the holiday, so he should not be listening, and John, their other cohort on the program, is somewhere out of state, or at least on his way out of state, so I don't think he's probably listening. So today I have the pleasure of having a guest on the program. I guess you might say that this guest was somewhat coerced into coming on the program today. So I'm going to have him introduce himself. This is Dave Smits, my spouse, and also Green Bay Packer fan.
Hi, guys. Pleasure to meet you.
Okay. Well, longtime Packer fan. I guess we can say that there were a lot of us who were not happy with week two, including all the Packer fans, all the Giant fans, Cowboy fans, and Eagle fans. Which, you know, probably most of us here. But I did, and I don't know, Dave, if you watched any of the Rams-San Francisco last night. The Thursday night game was unbelievable. Score, Rams won 41-39. Gurley was, just unbelievable. The Rams, he had two touchdowns. And they used to say ran like a girl. Well, now they'll have to say ran like a girly. I mean, he was really terrific. Their left tackle also did some phenomenal things. But actually, San Francisco, even though they've lost two games, they look good. The offense moved the ball, and I guess you're sitting there not saying much because you didn't watch the game.
I did not.
Brian Hoyer, I think he could do good things for San Francisco. And their wide receiver, and I don't know, Garcon, I think his name is Garcon.
Yep.
And he looked much better. And San Francisco looked much better than you would have expected with a 0-3 team. What about that? I know that if you talk about the Packer game, you would prefer talking about the first week rather than the second week. So what do you have to think, and what do you think about what's going to happen with the Atlanta Falcons after what you saw on Sunday?
Well, I think the Falcons look very good, particularly their receiving core, but Matt Ryan, who is now in his early 40s, their quarterback, the Atlanta Falcons quarterback, is looking awfully sharp, and they're a team to beat.
Well, they certainly did a job on the Packers.
Yeah, they sure did, as well as in the championship game last year, and I was hoping the Packers would make a better showing. But alas, it did not happen.
Well, but what, do we have Bakhtiari? I never can say his name.
Bakhtiari.
Bakhtiari and Balaga were both out. And then during the game, Jordy Nelson was hurt and went out. Was that, I don't know, was that first or second quarter?
It was very early in the game. The Packers lost Jordy Nelson, and Aaron Rodgers teams up nicely with Jordy Nelson. But the Packers' offensive tackles, both Bakhtiari and Bulaga, were on the sidelines, not even suited up, one of the Packers, no, the Packers' best defensive lineman, Mike Daniels, was also injured. And then in the course of the game, Jordy Nelson got hurt and Cobb got hurt. And they were riddled with injuries and key guys went down. But, you know, every team has to endure that, so I'm not making excuses. They were beaten soundly by the Falcons and did not deserve to win that game.
Well, are you surprised that, you know, this is NFC, are you surprised that Detroit is now, 2-0, and of course Packers are 1-1, but what did you think about, I don't think we watched much of the Detroit Giant game, but were you surprised about...
Actually, I wasn't surprised. The Lions quarterback, Matt Stafford, is a very good thrower. And remember, last season, the Lions and the Packers were, I believe, tied going into the last or the second last game of the season. And, you know, the Packers had to beat the Lions to win their division championship and go to the playoffs. The Lions have a good team.
Well, and of course, the Giants, who lost to Detroit, now they face the Eagles this week. And so they're going to the Eagles at a 0-2 record. So any thoughts about, I know you're not an Eagles fan. We have grandchildren who are Eagles fans. But any thoughts about that matchup?
Well, I think the Eagles are going to win it, though if the Giants start out 0-3, it might be a long season for them. I can't comment knowledgeably about either team's personnel because I'm a Packer fan.
Well, we know that. But actually, I've been impressed with the Eagles' young quarterback.
Yes, he does look good.
And... I was surprised last year. I thought they should keep him, on the bench for longer. I don't think that most people recognize how long that Aaron Rodgers really sat and waited his turn before Brett Favre. Frankly, I thought that that's really been helpful to him.
Well, he's certainly developed into a great quarterback, I think. Maybe the best quarterback I ever saw, though Tom Brady fans will disagree, I'm sure, and Peyton Manning fans might disagree, but Rodgers is sharp. He's smart. He is able to draw defensive teams offside. He frequently catches defensive teams with too many men on the field. He's smart, and he throws accurate passes. I love to see his predecessor play ball, Brett Favre, and everyone knows about Brett Favre, I guess, but the truth is that Favre was a gunslinger and much more apt to throw interceptions in critical situations than Aaron Rodgers is, though he did throw one. I can't remember if it was the first game or the last game.
No,
it
I think the last game.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that was interesting, at least to me, is because they had rookies in when he's trying to draw the defense offsides. Actually, there was probably what the Packers false start twice, I believe.
With sharp counts, his own team sometimes may jump the gun.
And I think they did twice in this last game.
You might be right.
And you know, it was as I recall, it was the young guys who, you know, they're so eager, and yet they're not used to playing, and it's easy for them to, you know, start a false start. So, what do you think about for Green Bay? What do you think about Montgomery? How do you think he's going to shape up?
Well, he was a pleasant surprise last season. He's billed as a receiver, and wears a receiver's number 88 on his jersey. Though I think he has done a nice job as a running back. Did a very good job last season. Manages to pick up 2 or 3 yards after being hit, and has already run a ball into the end zone for a touchdown in the first game. The Packers don't focus on the running game. They're largely a passing team, but they need a runner in that backfield, and they lost Eddie Lacy, traded away, and other players, Starks, didn't make the team, and so they drafted, I believe they drafted 3 rookie running backs this season, and one of them has kind of outshone the rest. His name is Williams, and he made an appearance in last Sunday's game, though didn't carry the ball more than a couple of times, didn't really get a chance to show what he can do.
Well, one of the things that I liked about Montgomery is not only is he running back, but, you know, because of his background, he can catch the ball. So there are times where, you know, he's kind of a double threat.
Yes. He's a good player, and can pick up those few yards, though he's pretty much a straight-ahead runner, doesn't dazzle you with maneuvers, with moves, but he's a powerful runner and good at picking up extra yards after being hit.
Well, the other thing that Rodgers made it 300
passes for touchdowns.
Yeah, 300 touchdowns, passes for touchdowns, in 144 games, which I think may be one of the all-time records.
He holds the record for reaching 300 passing touchdowns in the fewest games played.
Well, we want him to keep.
I wouldn't swear to that, but I'm quite.
No, I think you're right, and. Well, we'll be back for more Packers, obviously, since you have 2 Packer fans, and we're missing both John, who, of course, we know is an Eagles fan, is a Giants fan, and who should be with us next week, and hopefully the Giants won't be 0-3 next week, although if they are, Bill will be back, and Bill will be more than happy, and we should have some good discussions between the two of them, no matter who wins. But let's bring you a few messages from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back with my special guest today, my husband Dave Smits.
I'm your eyes remain, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambee's. purely delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, we're back with the Sports Guys, and I'm Pat Smits. My special guest today is my husband, Dave Smits. By the way, we'd like to encourage everyone to, listen to our sponsors and go to see them. And of course, one of the sponsors that just played was Pambies. And if you haven't been there for ice cream, you're really missing out. They're north on 31, just north of Payne Road, between Molasses Hill Road and Payne Road on the southbound side of 31. And really, they have terrific ice cream. At this point, both Dave and I are trying to stay away or at least limit our visits because, but it's worth it. It really is worth it. So I had invited Dave today to talk a little bit about history, especially Packer football history. I think most people know that the Packers are not owned by a single owner. They're owned by the city of Green Bay. In fact, they'll never be sold if they would be sold. My understanding, Dave, is that the money would go to charity, but...
I guess so. This is not a profit-making stockholders' business, but they are proudly owners of stock in the Green Bay Packer organization.
And so you can never sell it.
That's right.
Were born in Green Bay and lived your entire life in the area. Let's talk a little bit about some of what you think people might be interested in with respect to Packer history.
Well, the Green Bay Packers were among the few original founding teams in the NFL. Their founding date goes back to 1919. I guess the Chicago Bears claim birth in that same year, and the Bears and the Packers are long-standing rivals. The Packers player coach in 1919 was Eugene Curly, his nickname. He's always known by his nickname, Curly Lambeau, and so I'm not entirely sure if I've got his first name right, but Curly Lambeau was a playing coach who founded the organization and looking for funding, financial support, went to the Acme Packing Company in the city of Green Bay for a donation, and the Acme Packing Company obliged and Curley named the team after the Acme Packing Company. So they are, if you've been curious about the origin of that name, Packers, it derived from the Acme Packing Company. So this is 1919, and the Packers had some strong teams in the early years, and had strong teams even into the 1940s. I particularly remember a receiver, a pass receiver, the Alabama Antelope, a really speedy receiver named Don Hutson, who is in the Packer Hall of Fame. And if you ever go to Lambeau Field, you will see his name up there on the stadium. So Don Hutson is one of their most most well-known players from that era. The quarterback of the team was a player called named Arnie Herber. That name Herber is a French name, and I guess if you're speaking proper French, it ought to be pronounced Hébert, but we in my hometown didn't pronounce it that way. We called him Herber, and I just happened to play with three of his nephews on the East Appear High School football team and in backyard games in the neighborhood. Arnie Herber was the quarterback who threw most of the touchdown passes to Don Hutson. And Arnie Herber is also up on the Lambeau Stadium.
Meaning they retired his number.
Well, yes.
Or didn't they do that?
I don't think they retired his number, but he's in the Packer Hall of Fame.
And isn't he also along the top of, or somewhere along the stadium, there are the names of players that they've retired, most recently Brett Favre and Curly Lambeau, Arnie Herber,
and
Bart Starr.
And many of the members of the Lombardi winning team.
Right.
Of the 50s and 60s. Paul Hornung and Jim Taylor and Bart Starr, those names. So the Packers started out strong in the NFL. Not even sure it was called the NFL originally.
No, I'm sure it wasn't, actually.
Yes, I'm sure you're right.
And in fact, the one team, do you remember any of the other early teams? One of which I can't forget.
See, I'm a Packer fan. I exclude other teams, but of course the Chicago Bears were a team. And
right. In fact, little known by most people is that apparently George Halas actually saved the Packers at one point from, you know, not being. They were financially just a disaster. In fact, I think you know, even when you grew up, most of the Packers, you know, had other jobs. Certainly had summer jobs, and in fact, didn't someone work?
Well,
I'm trying to remember.
This quarterback that I've been talking about, Arnie Herber, was the manager of the Pepsi-Cola bottling company in my hometown, DePere, which is just 5 miles south of Green Bay. And that demonstrates how these professional football players often had to have other lines of work to make a go of it. My father worked for Arnie Herber in the Pepsi-Cola bottling company. But the Packers had winning teams until Don Hutson left, and then they became the floor mats of the NFL. And I've been told that professional coaches in the NFL were accustomed to threatening any player who didn't seem to be giving all that he could be giving or wasn't measuring up to shape up, or we'll send you to Green Bay. That was the end of the line. And the Packers were the floor mats of the NFL until Vince Lombardi.
Well, and in fact, I remember when Vince Lombardi, maybe you remember what he said, his daughter, and of course Vince had been hoping to become the coach of the Giants.
Yes.
He was from New Jersey. He coached in New Jersey. He coached in a college out here. And when he announced to his daughter that they were going to Green Bay, she said, according to actually what she has said, she said, well, where's Green Bay? Do you remember what Vince Lombardi's response was?
I'm not sure.
Well, if nobody knows where it is, they will as soon as I get there, or something to that effect.
Yes.
And he was phenomenal.
Well, he had been a coach. I believe he was the offensive coordinator with the New York Giants.
He was.
Tom Landry, later the famous coach of the Dallas Cowboys, was the defensive coordinator at the same time. Lombardi thought that he should have inherited the head coaching job with the Giants, and when that didn't pan out, and when it appeared that that wasn't going to happen to an Italian Catholic, Lombardi decided he would go to Green Bay, even though it was the floor mat. And when he arrived, the year he arrived, Green Bay had a 1-11 record.
You're right.
And Scooter McLean was the head coach. And that record illustrates how Green Bay was not a winning team back then. Well, Lombardi took substantially the same players, Forrest Gregg and Paul Hornung and Jim Taylor and Bart Starr and the whole gang, substantially the same players.
Was Ray Nitschke there when Lombardi came, or did he come the next year?
He just arrived. He might have been a rookie in Lombardi's first year. In fact, I think he was.
Well, when did Lombardi come?
Well, it was in the late 50s. It had to
was
be
it
around 57.
Seven? I was going to say, I thought it was 57. They were they still playing in Old City Stadium?
They were still playing in Old East High School Stadium. It was called City Stadium, and my father took me to one game there, and I saw Ray Nitschke, who was then a rookie and became their famous middle linebacker, almost as savage and ferocious as Dick Butkus of the Chicago Bears. Well, Ray Nitschke was trying to make the team as a rookie, and he was placed on the kickoff coverage team. I remember the game I saw, I believe it was against the Lions at Old City Stadium, and Nitschke went down and made the tackle so savagely. He hit the ball carrier so savagely with such impact that the fans in the stands just gasped. And I can still almost feel that, you know, the intake of their breath as they saw this tackle that Nitschke made. And it was almost a matter of fans turning to one another and saying, wow, he's going to be a good one.
And in fact, he was.
Yes, he was.
And one of the things that little known about Nitschke, I mean, he was incredibly tough. I know you have stories of meeting him in Dallas and, in fact, in New Orleans. But one of the things that he was so loved in Green Bay that when he died, they actually televised his funeral all over the state of Wisconsin. And I had my aunt at the time was probably close to 100 years old, and I happened to call her on the telephone, and she said, "Well, I can't talk. I'm watching Nitschke's funeral." So, I mean, it was just, he was really so well not only known but loved. And, you know, am I recalling it right? Did he have no front teeth at some point?
Oh, he had a few. The majority of them were missing, I think. I don't know what he used for teeth, but most of them were gone. I had a very interesting meeting with him in the lobby of the hotel where the Packers were staying in Dallas back in a championship playoff game with the Cowboys in, oh my gosh, it might have been 94, something like that. And I was still walking, jogging in the morning, and I had gone out for my early morning jog, and I came back to the hotel, and there sitting in the lobby smoking a cigar was Ray Nitschke. And I said to my son, who had accompanied me, I said, "I'm going to go over and tell Ray about my memories of his rookie year and that crunching tackle he made." And I went over and was sort of apologetic for intruding on his privacy, but he said, "My wife won't let me smoke in the room." And so he was in the lobby. But he was very receptive. And
in fact, didn't he invite you to sit down and you talk for about a half an hour?
I remember we chatted for about a half an hour, but then we had much to chat about. And unlike many teams and areas which have professional football teams, the Packers are like your next door neighbor. I mean, they're like community members and friends, and so they often get very close to the townspeople and vice versa. I mean, the high school kids are known for lending their bicycles to Packers who pedal off to the spring training practice sessions. And so you frequently see Packers in the department stores or in the malls or in restaurants, and it's no shock to see them. They're there in the community. So it's one of the reasons why I like the Packers. It has a small community feel to the team.
So what did Ray have to say when you sat down to talk to him? Anything special?
Well, I told him about the tackle I remembered him making, and he said, "Oh, it was in the game." And then I believe he said it was the Lion game, and he remembered the tackle, although he was in the habit of making the tackle on the kickoff coverage team in his rookie year. He was fast and a hard-nosed player, so that happened often. But this one happened as a home game in City Stadium, I believe the first game of the season. So he warmed up to the news, and then when I began to talk about their spring training, their training camps, I should say, the Packers had theirs at a little college that I attended, a St. Norbert College in West Pier. They stayed in the dorms there on campus, and I was playing football for the St. Norbert College Green Knights at the time, and so I would come out of the locker room after practice was over and walk across campus to go to my car, and I'd be apt to run into Vince Lombardi or Ray Nitschke or any one of the Packers, and he remembered the St. Norbert campus and remembered the president of the college, whose name now eludes me. But We had a very nice chat.
Yeah, and you may also remember when we went to the Super Bowl in New Orleans after the Super Bowl, which, by the way, the Packers won and the Patriots lost. As you remember, we ran into Ray Nitschke again and talked to him on the streets in New Orleans, and he was just there to be a fan.
Yes, he was. I think his life story is an example of a tough guy who had rough edges, but married the right woman, and she straightened him out.
But I think he married rather late, right? Didn't he have us get to play and be really nasty? I mean, he was considered a fairly, I mean, not only tough, but I mean, he was feared.
Yeah, he was a fierce player.
And I think he married maybe, I don't remember.
I'm not sure when he married, but the story goes that she softened his edges and made him, she civilized him, tamed him.
Maybe. Right. But he's one of the Packers who, you know, stayed in, as far as I know, stayed in Green Bay after his retirement, and his wife predeceased him, and he still lived there until his death.
Yeah. So he was one of those Packers, ex-Packers, or active Packer player that you would run into on the streets, and in the movie theaters, etc.
Well, and I remember as a teenager, it was pretty easy to get into the bars after games, and I remember the Packers used to come out to the bars. So you'd see Packer players, especially people like Horning, and they would be out, you know, just in all of the bars around Green Bay.
Yes, particularly the 18-year-old prom bar, where I would see players like Paul Horning and Jerry Kramer most often. It was a team with a nice community feel to it, and I liked the organization because with the stockholders being the owners, the team is not owned by a wealthy owner who is likely to skip town when the profits diminish. Now the Packers are in Green Bay.
Well, but it's a little bit of a misnomer to say the stockholders own the team. I mean, yes, you can buy stock and they've raised money with selling stock, but the stockholders really have no say. The team is actually owned, my understanding, it's owned by the city. And we certainly know it could never be sold, and there could never be a stockholder revolt. And, you know, but it is a team that doesn't have an owner. And I suppose because we grew up, you know, with that, you know, we've not been, you know, I mean, I know some of the owners are good. I mean, we've not had to put up with that kind of prima donna like we see in, for example, with the Cowboys, and you know, maybe that's why we've never really liked the Cowboys. So, what are you thinking this year? I know that the Bears and the Packers play on Thursday night, and you probably would agree with me that you never can predict a Packer-Bear game because it's a great rivalry.
The Packer-Bear rivalry, as I said, goes back to the early years, maybe even 1919. I think it does. And to support that statement I made about the Packers being the league floor mats for many years, I believe the one lost record of both teams is just about identical, even now. And that is in spite of the fact that in recent years, with Rodgers and Brett Favre quarterbacking the Packers have overwhelmingly have won most of those games against the Bears. But there was such a deficit that the Packers had to make up for in terms of losses to the Bears that it's only this at this point that the one loss record is about even. In fact, I think very recently, maybe it was in a game last year, they said that the one lost records are identical.
Wow.
The Packers play the Bears.
Well, you know, one of the things, the other thing, and, you know, we do talk Packers, but, you know, if you looked at preseason, if you watched any of the preseason games, one of the things about the Packers is the stands will be full. I mean, they have other events where families come out, they have a family day, they have other things, but, you know, there are not empty seats. And one of the things, and I was too young to remember that, but those bad years or those very poor years, apparently they still filled the stadium. Now, what the Packers did when they renovated Lambeau in the earlier years, they played some of their games in Milwaukee and some of the games in Green Bay. So they have a gold and a green package, and the only people that have season tickets for all of the games are people who had season tickets for the package when they played in Milwaukee and when they played in Green Bay, so that the game still, and one of the things that we all wish we would have done is it was much easier to get tickets, season tickets for the Milwaukee games than it was for the Green Bay game. So when they merged the tickets, those people were lucky because from what I understand, what is the wait now, 35 years to get season tickets?
To get on the list for season tickets.
Yeah. People put their babies on when they're born. They put their babies on, and every year there will be an announcement of literally a handful of season tickets that have now been given to people who have been on the list for 30-some years.
Green Bay is a great football town, but there's not much else to do in Green Bay.
Well, that's true.
There really isn't.
Well, the other, I mean, I think Wisconsin is a great football state. I mean, look at the following that the Wisconsin Badgers have. And anyway, we'll be back to talk a little bit more football after a few little information from some of our sponsors. But today is our day to get history on the Green Bay Packers. And frankly, we would love to have somebody come in another time to talk about history of some of the other teams, although I'm not so sure we'll invite a Patriots fan in. So we'll be back in a minute.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, we're back. It's the Sports Guys, Pat Smits, and my two usual compadres are not here today, Bill Wolfson and John Manfreda. So my guest today is Dave Smits, who is not only have I been married to for a long time, he's also a Green Bay Packer fan, and what he doesn't realize is that he was lucky enough to find a spouse, or at least at that time, a girlfriend who was also a diehard Packer fan, and in fact, also a Badger football fan. And last year, we actually went out and saw three home games.
Yes, indeed, we did. And it was a good trip.
So let me ask you, since we're talking history, do you remember President Kennedy's involvement with the Green Bay Packers?
Well, that's an interesting question. Are you talking about the 1960 presidential campaign?
Nope, I'm not. I'm talking about, maybe you don't remember, back in, what year was it? I think it was in, I'm not sure the year, but the Wisconsin National Guard was called up. You should remember the year.
Okay.
When were they called up because of the balloon crisis? Was that 62?
Okay, I know what you're referring to. One of the key Packer players, Paul Hornung, Heisman Trophy winner from Notre Dame and the Packers' most versatile player, their field goal kicker, their pass catcher, their touchdown maker in the red zone, Paul Hornung was in military service.
Well, he was in the guard. He was called up.
Yeah, he was in the guard.
Along with, I think, Jerry Kramer, maybe Taylor. I mean, there were like maybe three of the Packers who...
There were other players, yes. Not more than a half dozen, but key players. And Vince Lombardi made a call to...
Well, what happened?
Man. Okay.
Yeah,
right.
But what happened, if you recall, is that, and I don't remember if Paul Hornung was in Missouri, wherever he was, his commanding officer was not going to allow him to have leave to go back to play a key Packer game.
Yes.
And... Lombardi knew Kennedy, and Kennedy, actually Lombardi called Kennedy, and President Kennedy intervened and called the commander and said that, the Army, I guess it was the Army, didn't need Paul Hornung as much as the Green Bay Packers. And in fact, the other team should have been really unhappy because I can't remember who they were playing. But, in fact, Hornung and I believe the other team members were given leave to go back and play the game and won. but that there.
I think you're right.
That is absolutely true story.
Yes, it is.
And
I only know bits and pieces of it, but you're absolutely right. It is. Kennedy did make that call and make that allowance for at least Paul Hornung and probably other players.
And apparently a personal call. Can you imagine the commander or whoever was in charge of that base getting a call from the president? But that didn't surprise me at all that Lombardi would do that. Oh, but you have to tell the story of how Reggie White came to the Packers. Reggie, of course, as we know, played for the Eagles, and he was one of the leaders of the group of, I guess it was the, was a group that, what, Players Union, where they were for free agency?
Yes, at the
and
time.
And he was a free agent.
At the time this happened, Reggie White, the big Hall of Fame defensive tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles and later for the Green Bay Packers. He even played 1 year after leaving the Packers for another team. I think it was the Carolina Panthers, though I'm not absolutely sure. But Reggie White was the cream of the defensive tackle crop of his day. And for mysterious reasons, the Philadelphia Eagles had not signed him, and he was a free agent. And Packer coach Mike
Holmgren,
Mike Holmgren, saw that White was available and decided he would make a personal telephone call to White. I think that Holmgren had to leave a message on White's phone, and the message was to the effect, Reggie, this is God. God wants you. This is God. I want you to play for the Packers.
And those of you who knew Reggie, I mean, he was a phenomenal football player, but he was also a minister. And the other story that his wife, since he and tragically died, I think at about age 42, from
sleep apnea.
Now, he had sleep apnea, but his wife had since said on, when she was interviewed that Reggie really wanted to continue playing for Philadelphia, but that they had not offered him a contract, and because he was one of the leaders in getting the teams to concede to free agency.
That's the reason.
And, you know, he really was, you know, very instrumental in that. And so apparently he was, in fact, a free agent, and according to his wife, he didn't get a call from the Eagles, although the Eagles would say they really wanted him back. But that famous number 92 went to the Packers. And the other story that I have heard, that he was somewhat concerned because he was a preacher and he wanted to continue preaching, and he was a preacher in black churches, and somehow they made some concessions that he was able to preach. And, of course, the other thing about race relations is, you know, Green Bay is was predominantly white. In fact, what's the percentage? The name Smiths is Dutch, and the percentage of Dutch in Green Bay was huge.
Well, actually, the area was initially settled by French colonists, and French names are on the land in northeast